WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. London's Heathrow Airport, a major international hub, is closed down for all of Friday over what is called a significant power outage linked to a fire. BBC's Nick Marsh gets us up to date.
We know that this fire was at a power substation in West London in a place called Hayes, which evidently provides power also to Heathrow Airport. Thousands in that area were left without power. About 150 people had to be evacuated.
The airport is warning of significant disruption over the coming days. The standoff between the Trump administration and a federal judge over deportation flights continues. The judge has ordered the flights halted until he gets more information, and CBS's Nancy Cortes reports the White House isn't handing it over.
They say the president has the right under wartime laws to deport foreigners without any due process, no questions asked. And they say that disclosing operational information about this roundup could jeopardize their ability to fight terrorist organizations. But the judge has given them the option to submit this information under seal to him alone.
Administration officials say the men up for deportation are dangerous terrorists. CBS's Linda Kenyon reports President Trump has signed an executive order to begin the process of eliminating the Department of Education.
President Trump said the Department of Education is a failing enterprise.
We rank near the bottom of the list in terms of success.
Closing a government agency requires congressional approval, and Republicans are planning legislation. But the president knows Democrats are not on board.
I hope they're going to be voting for it because ultimately it may come before them.
A wildfire in Marion County in the eastern Texas Arklatex region remains active overnight, but is 95% contained. That's according to the Texas A&M Forest Service incident viewer. CBS News correspondent Omar Villafranca is there.
This part of Texas has a lot of piney woods, which means pine needles do drop. State officials say the combination of wind and low humidity and that fuel were perfect conditions for the fire, but no word on how it started.
The fire has charred more than 2,300 acres. Researchers at the University of Cambridge say they have developed a new artificial intelligence weather prediction system.
Now, instead of being run on one central supercomputer, you can have individual running forecasts like for a lot smaller, maybe underdeveloped areas where you wouldn't have access to those supercomputers. Now you can run local forecasts.
Researcher James Requema, who says this could democratize forecasting. New York Supreme Court has ended New York City's effort to allow non-citizens with permanent residency or work authorization the ability to vote in local and state elections. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A Badgers win in the tournament. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team with a victory today over the Montana Grizzlies. The final 85-66 in favor of the Badgers. Guard John Blackwell, leading scoring with 19 points. Stephen Crowell, 18. John Tanjay had 15 in all five Badgers players with double-digit points. Up next, they face Brigham Young on Saturday. Marquette is in Cleveland, where they'll face New Mexico tomorrow night, game time 6:25. How much will making it to the tournament for a fourth year in a row help the Golden Eagles? Head coach Shaka Smart.
I think a ton. Having been through the twists and turns of the NCAA tournament, I think both the wins that we've had and also the losses we've had taught us a lot of lessons, taught those guys a lot of lessons. When you get to the NCAA tournament, it does feel different. It still comes down to trying to be the best version of yourselves as a team and individually out there on the court.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. After well over a year of hype surrounding the show Severance, I finally had to check it out. 40 minutes into episode 1 of season 1, I had more questions than answers, but the pilot closed strong. Despite being a slow starter, the sci-fi mystery about a group of office workers who discover that their work memories and personal life memories have been surgically separated is a critic's darling, pulling a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I will have more information as I continue the binge. The premiere date for season 2 of The Last of Us is right around the corner. Recently, it was revealed revealed that series co-lead Bella Ramsey was diagnosed with autism. Making the story even more interesting was that it was a crew member on the set whose daughter has autism who suggested Ramsey get tested while season one was still being shot. Ramsey says they believe this will help them as an actor, as they have always been someone who watches and studies people. Season two of The Last of Us drops April 13th on Max. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, skies going from partly to mostly cloudy, and our winds out of the south as temperatures drop into the lower 30s. On Friday, plenty of clouds, highs in the low to mid 50s, a slight chance of rain in the afternoon as our winds turn to the northwest. It's 33 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
We're talking about Trump tariffs as well as other news for Wisconsin with Dr. Kristen Lierley in the first hour. Hari Kundabolu is our guest in the second hour, and this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is taking a little vacation, and she will be returning on Tuesday, but I'll be here in her stead. As always, I've got Mr. Calby on the boards. Calvin, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing a great time. I'm having a great show. We're just started, Calvin. Just started. We've got a very, very packed show for you today at 10:30. Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, will be here as he is every Thursday to talk about all of the news in the world of law. We're going to be talking about impeaching justices. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about a surprising decision from Justice Roberts on the impeachment of judges from the lower courts, which didn't go exactly the way of President Trump. We're also going to be talking about the upcoming election on April 1st. We'll get into that in a little bit in a moment. And of course, it's Thursday, so in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to Brittany Merlot with some weather and wine. Paul Noonan is here with the sports, and at 11:50, as always, this shouldn't be a thing. But just to give you an update, today the average price of milk, a gallon of regular milk in Wisconsin is $3.17. No change from yesterday, as well as the price of a dozen eggs is $5.61, no change from yesterday.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
Well, better late than never, I guess. Who can hurt him for trying, I guess. Folks, as I said before, April 1st is election day. Springtime election, smaller election, as we will mention on this show from time to time. Not as sexy as an election, but you know what? We still want you to be a voter, and you can do that. You can actually start voting absentee in person today. As of this past Tuesday, you can go to your local city hall, town hall, village hall, wherever you early vote. You can cast your ballot right now for the April 1st election. Don't know where that is? Simple. Go to myvote.wi.gov. Click in your information, and it's going to tell you where you can early vote. It'll also tell you who is on your ballot, what is on your ballot, and who represents you. As we said, this is not a Senate race. This is not a congressional race that we're talking about. We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which, as we talked about 2 years ago, hanging in the balance. Do we want to go backwards, or do we want to go forwards with fairer maps? More balance on the court, more balanced thinking on the court, or do we want to go backwards and maybe all the way to the mid-19th century with regard to healthcare access for women? So that choice is yours. Go to myvote.wi.gov for more information on that. And, if you've already voted, call us. Reach out. Let us know what's going on with that. Was it easy? Was it hard? Where did you go? How was your experience? You can always contact us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you're on the live stream, you can always leave a comment as well. Tell us how your voting experience has been if you've already voted. We'd love to hear from you on that matter. But, Cal, you, if I'm not mistaken, you are a vote-on-the-day guy.
Yes, I always have been.
I always have been, and I always will be. I vote on the day. And that's a, and they don't make good songs anymore. And you got all taken care of. You're all registered. You're all good to go.
Assuming, and I know maybe we should not assume anymore. Mm-mm. Assuming I have not been purged from the voter rolls, then yes, I am good to go.
Well, and that actually, Calvin, I'm glad you brought that up, because whether it's nefarious or whether it's natural, names can be dropped from the voter rolls. We've seen stories from all over the country of attorneys general trying to purge voter rolls for their various reasons. And in Wisconsin, you know, that's not as much the case. But they do come off naturally if you move and you don't re-register, or if you don't answer, you know, correspondence from the state on your location. So that's why going to myvote.wi.gov is so important, because you can actually see if you're registered. Now, you can register on the day of election, which is great. That is wonderful. I'm waiting for the powers to be to say we should take that away as well, because they want voter ID, and that's ridiculous. It's not a thing. But right now, you can register on the day, but you can register right now by going to myvote.wi.gov, and that way you're all set to go. Don't forget, you do need your ID, which I'm not going to talk about right now, because I will spend my show, Todd's show, and Maggie's show talking about voter ID. But go to myvote.wi.gov, get all your information taken care of. If you have any questions, get in touch with them. They'll be happy to help you out with this. PJ on the live stream says, yes, I dropped my ballot off yesterday. Nina has a Dropbox in the lobby of the city building. That's excellent. Good job, PJ. And Cassandra says, I've been reminding my, quote, like-minded friends to go to vote early. Yes, as we say on the show, too, make a plan, take some friends, and then treat yourself afterwards. Go see a movie, get some brunch. I don't know, buy some shoes. I would buy some shoes. I love shoes. But point is, vote. Be a voter. Voting is cool, and that's all I'm going to say about it until probably about 30 seconds from now, Calvin. So we are talking about the election, though. In the election, we have, and I want to talk about specifically about the Supreme Court race, which is between Judge Susan Crawford and Brad Schimel. And as we get closer and closer to the election, I just have a really quick question for everyone out there. Is Brad Schimel the best candidate for that side of the party? Or I mean, that's actually my point, is we have two candidates, and Brad Schimel is doing everything he can to let you know that he is a conservative, right, very right leaning. It's not even that anymore. It's he's openly hostile towards colleagues, towards members of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He wants to strip away abortion rights to the very bones of the words of 1849. And I just got to ask, is Brad Schimel the best guy to be running right now? Is he the one that you want? I assume so. People are going to vote for him. But this reminds me, Cal, of 2 years ago when Brian Kelly was running as well. And it just seemed like this hostile, angry, bitter, insulting campaign where you're just saying horrible things about the people who work in the same industry that you do. And to me, that doesn't represent a balanced mind. To me, that just sounds like a toddler throwing a tantrum, or just someone who's just not someone you want making these huge decisions for the state.
Yeah, I mean, even if you expand it beyond judges and you go back to the past like five statewide elections, it seems like the Republicans have one playbook, and it's only worked once, and it was with an incumbent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he is referred to, I'm looking at an article here from Daniel Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is referred to justices as dumb as a sack of hammers, and another one as addled. I mean, if he wins, some of these individuals will be his colleagues on the bench. How is that going to go down every day at work when you know that this guy essentially hates you? I mean, Cassandra makes a very good point. Sounds like a president. Very good point, Cassandra. Very, very good point. But that's the thing, is you want, look, in politics, you shake hands and you smile, and you may have a closed door opinion on somebody. Understood. But to be this outwardly aggressive. I mean, he has actually gone after Justice Hagedorn too, who is a conservative. And the reason why he's going after him is because Justice Hagedorn had the gall to say that the 2020 election was not stolen. That was what sent them over the edge with Justice Hagedorn. He's a rhino. He's a all the things. It doesn't make sense to me that he should have been allowed to make it this far. And I think because he's been running for 16 months, he's been running under the radar. We've only been paying attention to this race for about 3.5 months now. And he's been flying on the radar, going to a lot of events. He says himself, he goes to a lot of events, shakes a lot of hands. And he says that the people of Wisconsin say the Wisconsin Supreme Court is messed up, which I don't know where he gets that information, where that data comes from. I'm still waiting for him to show his work. But this is the kind of mind who would be sitting on the court. This is the kind of mind who would be interacting with left-leaning, right-leaning, conservative, liberal justices. And it just, to me, seems like not someone you want to deal with on a regular basis. He called Justice Brian Hagedorn soft-headed. He said that we got burned with him because he had the audacity to say that the 2020 election wasn't stolen, which we know wasn't because we did a lot of research on that. $2 million worth. We paid for it. Robin Voss says it was fine. Justice Hagedorn says it's fine. But that's, I mean, and now he's going back to the old days of bringing up bags of ballots in Milwaukee. Like, this is just 2024 all over again, where we had to listen to them blather on about 2020. Tony on the live stream says, Schimmel is too dramatic for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. What a diva. I don't disagree with that. And honestly, I'm thinking about future colleagues. I mean, how will he be deciding on certain things? And also, he has made no bones about speaking his opinion on abortion, on election, and how they are run. He has talked openly about his dislike for healthcare in this country. And frankly, if any of those things come before the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, I would expect then Justice Schimmel to recuse himself. But do you think that's going to happen, Calvin? Do you think there is a version in the multiverse, in the vast, gigantic multiverse, do you think there's a version of Brad Schimmel that recuses himself, even though he's spoken out directly and passionately about how he cares about these topics?
Well, no, obviously not, because that would make Elon Musk very upset.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about Elon Musk later at 11 o'clock. We're going to talk a little bit about his disinformation campaign here in Wisconsin. And the Wisconsin Journal Sentinel came out with an editorial that basically says, this is disgusting. This is not good. We do not like this. And we'll talk more about Elon and what he is doing to try to get Brad Schimmel to win, because, you know, he's got his tentacles in Wisconsin for another billionaire, Calvin, another millionaire billionaire who wants Wisconsin because they just feel it's theirs. And so he can sell a few cars. We'll talk more about that 11 o'clock. Gene, I see you on the line. Don't hang up. We're going to get to you when we come back from the break. We're going to get some water, get a snack. Take care of yourself. Don't go anywhere. You listen to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mary Mack, you were supposed to be on the show about 3 weeks ago, but I got really sick. Like, I slept on a mattress that you might have driven to the dump.
Still like last time, I am actively smuggling in mattresses from Minnesota because they recycle them for free.
You should probably keep that on the download.
Well, yeah, but how am I going to get any business unless I start talking about it, Pete?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Musk is so arrogant that he is even intervening right here in the state of Wisconsin.
Republican Rep. Brian Stile said in a statement that Sanders was on a fear-mongering tour. Maybe you should be afraid when billionaires can buy the presidency, when billionaires can buy elections. I think that's a little scary. And I think we, the people, should do something about it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air, listening to on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming at you with some classic 80s Rush right there. Thank you very much, Calvin. I always love it when you play the Rush for us. We were talking about the upcoming election, the April 1st election. You can vote absentee in person right now. Just go to myvote.wi.gov to find out more information on that. We had some people on the text line. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, I voted Tuesday here in Prairie du Sac. As I was leaving, another person was asking for a ballot. And then he said, after I voted, I went to the Capitol 245 Women's Rally. Great event. Thank you so much for sharing that. and then also, we got some other people commenting on the live stream as well. Thank you very much for getting in touch with us. We wanted to just talk to you basically about the question is, you know, Brad Schimmel, is he the best we can do? You know, Susan Crawford, and when it comes to a judge's race, it's supposed to be an impartial, nonpartisan, keep it down the middle. We know that one side swings one way. We know one side swings the other way. But they're supposed to stay a little more center balanced, and you allow people to kind of speak on your behalf, if you will. You know where they'll stand as far as the issues go. But people like Justice Janet Protasiewicz and Judge Susan Crawford are doing that right now. They're keeping it down the middle because you know if they would have said either. I mean, my goodness, Janet Protasiewicz said the maps were rigged and the Republicans lost their minds, saying she has to recuse herself. Well, she doesn't have to because if Brad doesn't have to, if no one's bringing it up, then I don't want to hear any more about recusal. But Gene has been very patient. Gene and O'Claire is on the phone right now. Gene, what's going on?
I think this is a very good topic, and thank you for bringing this up. Because you know what? I am getting sick to death of all this hate. You know, hatred toward women, hatred toward people of color, hatred toward veterans assistance, hatred toward the elderly on Social Security, Medicare, hatred toward the poor, hatred toward those who care about the environment. Hate, 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 hate. And we're going to have 10 more years of hate from Schimmel.
Yeah, I mean, Gene, that's a very good point. I mean, that's another thing that I don't know why I didn't bring up. Thank you for reminding me, Gene. And thank you so much for calling. Brad Schimmel has said he's going to help make sure the Trump agenda gets done here in Wisconsin. And to me, if you do not like the Trump agenda, you should not be voting for Brad Schimmel. Not to mention the fact that a guy running for Wisconsin Supreme Court should not be saying that in the first place. He just shouldn't be. His job is to go out there, talk to people, find out what's concerning them, and then on the merits of their job, try to get elected, not by sucking up to a guy who is just today, and we'll talk maybe about this with Jim Santel a little bit, who's just today announced finally he's going to sign an executive order to dismantle the Department of Education. So if that's what you like in a guy, I guess Brad Schimmel's your dude, but I think that the way that he's been running this campaign is one of the reasons why I'm not a huge fan of judges' races in the first place. It makes you take a side, and then it's just about making sure you slam the other one as hard as possible. Robert in West Dallas is on the phone. Robert, what's going on, my friend?
You know, I think his temperament is going to be similar to David Prosser's. Remember during Act 10, he couldn't handle, was it Justice Ann Bradley? So he decided to choke her.
Yep.
He should have been in prison. I think that's what we're going to see from Schimmel. You know, and I think overall, I'm really worried about this race. I think we're in trouble with it. I think we need to take the blinders off. We're still trying to pretend this is nonpartisan. But, you know, when we had Lewis Butler's race and they started to darken his skin and try to associate him as some kind of weak on crime type of justice, that's really where in Wisconsin changed, where judges weren't judging by the law and right down the middle. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is the whole enchilada, right? It's Act 10. Yeah. It's fair maps. We have better maps. We don't have fair maps.
Yeah.
I would like to see the national people out here. I want to see AOC show up and bring out the students. I want Barack Obama here. Where's Bruce Springsteen? Honest to God, I mean, this would really set us up for the next 10 years. And then maybe they could start working on Iowa or some of these other states. Mm-hmm. If we get Schimmel in there, we're really going backward.
Yeah, I don't doubt that, and I don't disagree with you for the most part. I feel like we've, you know, when Eric Jr. is coming to town to plump for Brad Schimmel, maybe then some of the big guns need to be pulled out for the other side. Thank you so much, Robert, for calling. We appreciate it. And also, you know, I feel like we should have learned our lesson with Daniel Kelly too. He was just as divisive. He was just as vitriolic. He was not a pleasant man to listen to speak. And if you want any proof of that, look up Daniel Kelly concession speech after he lost to now Justice Protasiewicz. It was one of the darkest things I've ever heard, next to maybe a Trump inauguration speech. Robert on the live stream says Brad Schimmel doesn't care about the rule of law. He hasn't given any solid reasons why convicted J6 insurrectionists were not treated fairly. Also, he hasn't given any solid points to Trump's agendas he'd be able to push out of the court, because there are none. Thank you very much, Robert, for reaching out. Cassandra in New London, got a little bit of time. What say you, my friend? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, yes, I agree, like, Schimmel's not a good choice. I think there's also needs to be some education, like, as far as the other things that are on the ballot, like just mm-hmm. here in New London, like we have a school board race.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think people just kind of forget about those.
Yeah.
And it can be very disturbing, because you don't really need any qualifications to be on the school board, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have two people here in particular who their biggest thing they're pushing to get votes here in this very red city is that we need to protect our girls from trans kids. It's gross. Like, one of our candidates was actually talking about how it's a mental illness, and that, I mean, really just bringing up conversion therapy, which was really scary. And it's like, why are we talking about this at a school board meeting?
Absolutely, Cassandra. We're up at the break, so I cut you off there. I apologize, but thank you so much for calling in. I don't disagree. That's when we got to share what we know, talk to our friends and family, find out what's on your ballot, and talk to the people who are in your neighborhood, because you can make the difference on your block, in your neighborhood. So, myvote.wi.gov for more information on what's on your ballot. When we come back, Jim Santel will be here to talk about the law, because he does it so well, and we're so excited to have him here. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show. CBS News Brief. London's Heathrow Airport, a major world hub, is closed for all of Friday after a nearby fire caused a significant power outage. BBC's Nick Marsh.
It's one of the busiest in the world. It's the busiest in Europe. It's second only to Dubai globally. We're talking about 83 million passengers every year. 230,000 passengers go through Heathrow Airport every single day.
President Trump signed an executive order calling for dismantling the Department of Education.
Those are two stats you don't want. The most money spent per pupil, and you're at the bottom of the list. And that's where we are, like it or not.
The department has cut about half its staff already, but only Congress can close it down. The NBA Boston Celtics will sell for a record $6.1 billion to a group led by investor Bill Chisholm. Here's some fan reaction.
You know, it's kind of like the toy store for rich people anyways. The only thing I'm worried about, of course, is what's that going to mean for ticket prices for everybody.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A Badgers win in the tournament. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team with a victory today over the Montana Grizzlies. The final 85-66 in favor of the Badgers. Guard John Blackwell leading scoring with 19 points. Stephen Crowell, 18. John Tanjay had 15 in all five Badgers players with double-digit points. Up next, they face Brigham Young on Saturday. Marquette is in Cleveland, where they'll face New Mexico tomorrow night, game time 6:25. How much will making it to the tournament for a fourth year in a row help the Golden Eagles? Head coach Shaka Smart.
I think a ton. Having been through the twists and turns of the NCAA tournament, I think both the wins that we've had and also the losses we've had taught us a lot of lessons, taught those guys a lot of lessons. When you get to the NCAA tournament, it does feel different. It still comes down to trying to be the best version of yourselves as a team and individually out there on the court.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's looking more and more like we should all avoid heading to the theaters to see The Alto Nights, where Robert De Niro plays gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese. That's right, he plays both roles. Despite what producers thought was a solid script and Barry Levinson directing, the crime thriller is drawing only 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not sure if De Niro playing two roles has anything to do with it, but how hard could it have been to find another actor and not rely on a gimmick? Actress Jenny Slate initially supported her co-star Blake Lively in her sexual harassment complaints against Justin Baldoni. The three actors were all in the film It Ends With Us, where the controversy started. In a recent interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Slate, the star of Bob's Burgers and FX's new series Dying for Sex, says she only wanted to talk about her new show and will no longer discuss anything involving Baldoni, Lively, or It Ends With Us. All this drama will no doubt be a miniseries one day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price in the overnight. Skies going from partly to mostly cloudy, and our winds out of the south as temperatures drop into the lower 30s. On Friday, plenty of clouds, highs in the low to mid 50s, a slight chance of rain in the afternoon as our winds turn to the northwest. Right now, it's 31.
The Todd Alba Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome This Week in Waukesha host Don Brown and Milwaukee native and writer-director of Just a Bit Outside, Sean Hanisch. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is off gallivanting the world for a few days, but we'll be back on Tuesday. Of course, we always have Sweet Cal B behind the boards, and that sound, that music can mean only one thing. It's Thursday, it's 10:34, and we're welcoming Jim Santel, the host of Amicus, a law review, to the show again. Mr. Santel, how be you today?
Greg, I am doing well in our America. It still is our America.
Darn right.
I'm delighted to be with you and Calvin and all your listeners, as always.
Excellent. Well, we are going to be spending the next half an hour talking to Mr. Santel about all the major news that have to do with the law, whether it's a local law or whether it's, you know, coming out of the Supreme Court. And something from the Supreme Court dropped, I believe it was yesterday or maybe 2 days ago, coming from the court regarding the impeaching of lower court justices or lower court judges, and a surprising verdict or a surprising decision from Justice Roberts. Jim, can you tell us more about it?
Absolutely. Again, this comes from what is arguably the hottest but latest story of this week, having to do with a U.S. District Court judge. His name is James Boasberg. He's in the District of Columbia. He is the one who is giving this administration trouble. And that's understating it wildly, for its decision to pack up and transport some Venezuelan migrants. We don't know exactly what their status is. The White House maintains that they're gang leaders and we've got to get rid of them. And under a centuries-old law, the president thinks he can do this. In any event, James Boasberg basically directing the White House to stop it. And he's having hearings, again, one starting in just a few hours here, asking the administration to explain whether it violated his own directive to stop those planes, keep them on the ground, not send these folks back. And again, the White House and the Department of Justice have some splaining to do, as you often say. We'll see how that plays out. But all of that prompts our president to say, contrary to everything we've known for 250 years, that, you know, judges should be impeached. He's plainly focusing on this one, among others who are many in the recent weeks and a couple of months, who have said, no, Mr. President, you can't do unconstitutional things. He's proposed that they be removed from office, that they be impeached. And yes, indeed, John Roberts, in an all too rare statement, John Roberts, nothing wrong with your being out there articulating what the civics of America is, says this. He says, for more than two centuries, it's been established that impeachment is not an appropriate response to disagreement concerning a judicial decision. The normal appellate review process exists for that purpose. And he goes on to teach the president of the United States of America a little bit about how this works. It is stunning that he should have to say that. And I would go to the next step after we digest that a bit and say, a little bit too late, John Roberts, also. A little bit too late. Nice for you to say that. It would also have been nice for you to frankly, write a letter. He mentions Donald Trump in nothing. His name does not appear. Here's his address, Mr. Chief Justice. It's 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. I got the zip code for you. It's 20500. Write the letter, publish that, and tell him to knock it off. Don't just issue these. He's right about it. And he's good to do it, but it's not enough. And also, coming as it did, which we can revisit again this morning, 8 months ago, basically, it was John Roberts himself who empowered Donald Trump to do exactly what he's doing. How dare you, Mr. Chief Justice, now maintain, whoa, can't be going this far, when back on July 1, you gave this president in that catastrophic order incredible powers. And I can read some of the language. We've talked about this before, Greg.
Yeah.
But it is stunning that now the Chief Justice says, whoa, this is too far. You're the one who put him in this posture. And if we point fingers at all, no violence here, but point fingers in terms of who's responsible, I put a lot of this at the Chief Justice's feet.
I mean, the thing is that we can't forget, I believe it was at the president's speech 2 weeks ago, he walked up to Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, and said, I won't forget you for that.
I won't forget you.
I mean,
stunning, right?
And so I guess my question as a non-lawyer, non-judge, I'm none of those jobs, you know, he is trying to make, well, first of all, it seems like he's saying, you can't do that because I don't want to lose my job. Because we always say the same thing. We say the same thing over and over again, which is you are only good to Trump until you are no longer good for him.
Yes.
And he will get rid of you. And so he's trying to put his anchor down to say, you can't do this because I don't want to lose my job. But I won't say anything because I don't want to lose my job. And now I've done my duty. I'll go back to the chambers and I'll pretend that nothing happened.
I'll retreat back to my office in the Capitol Hill. And I wonder how much pressure even he was under from other judges around the country, even his fellow justices. I'm not saying that Sam Alito or Clarence Thomas was pounding at his door saying, got to do something here. But maybe the other justices were also saying, we need to do some pushback here. And thankfully, he did it. But once again, not only, and when Greg could not be more pointed, why was Donald Trump tapping the Chief Justice on the shoulder on January 20th saying, we won't forget this? Because it was John Roberts' pen that kept Donald Trump from being exposed ultimately to a criminal conviction. And what did John Roberts say? That is visiting again, he says, the president occupies a unique position in the constitutional scheme. Not really. No. There are three branches altogether, yeah. Mr. Chief Justice. And he talks about how we need to have, and here's his words. This is what John Roberts said 8 months ago. Energetic, vigorous, decisive, speedy, placing in the hands of a single constitutionally indispensable individual ultimate authority. He goes on to talk about the purpose of a vigorous and energetic executive is to ensure good government, because a feeble executive implies a feeble execution of government. Framers vested the president with supervisory and policy responsibilities of utmost discretion and sensitivity. Those are your words, Mr. Chief Justice, of 8 months ago. And so it's very nice, once again, for you to say, whoa, 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 but you can't be impeaching judges. Yes, that's right. But you set this up, did you not? Mm-hmm. And again, if I were in a position of some responsibility there, frankly, even media should be going after him. Again, not in terms of any violence, but asking him, if you ever get the chance, how do you reconcile these two things that you've said? Can't impeach, and nonetheless, giving this president, any executive, these huge powers, indispensable, vigorous, can't be feeble, maximum ability, says, to deal fearlessly and impartially with the duties of his office. Wow. And now we're saying, but not so much. You've got to be responsible across the board, Mr. Chief Justice, and this is not it.
No, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but John Roberts, though a conservative, though appointed by George W. Bush, has voted, ruled, and written on decisions where he has irked the right.
Absolutely.
And and it's interesting to me that, you know, he has done all those things and now he's writing this letter that's like real milk toast in the face of a much bigger decision from, as you said, in July, where he's saying the president's the president. You can't touch him. And even though all three branches, you know, all the leaders of the branches should, in a perfect world, have some sort of standard they're held to and consequences for inaction. But we're seeing that even with the Supreme Court, no one's going to take anyone off the Supreme Court anytime soon. They know they can run around with impunity, and it's just sort of the way it is now. And that's the real frustrating thing for me, Jim, is that
absolutely
it just kind of feels like, well, that's how things are now. That's the standard.
It becomes the status quo when under any other circumstances. You and I and Calvin also have lived long enough to recall a time, frankly, it was about 3 months ago and certainly before the first Trump term, when Republican and Democratic presidents alike, attorneys general, Republican and Democratic, my boss was Eric Holder. I worked under 9 different attorneys general. Most of them were under Republican administrations. You had a sense, you may disagree with him on big picture issues like how much we should emphasize environment and how much we should do antitrust and what should we do in commerce, those kinds of things. Those are where the political partisan divisions should be, and we can have vigorous disagreements. Reasonable people can disagree.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of things that should not be at all the subject of disagreement. And the fact that we're raising these fundamental notions as first principles and going back to notions about whether or not James Madison did in fact say that there are three branches of government, and oh, by the way, you are not the law. Yeah. When in fact, that has been established again for all of my lifetime, all of yours, the lifetimes of all of your listeners and our great, 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 great grandparents. Mm-hmm. All of that, again, and I think your point is well taken. Now, today, as we wake up on this wonderful Thursday morning, you think, well, okay, that's just the way the world is. No, our hair should be on fire about these things. And we should be writing those letters, not just to the Chief Justice, but to our representatives, frankly, local, state, and federal as well, telling them this is not acceptable. And we should be showing up at all those town hall meetings and insisting on responses from our local representatives. That's what James Madison contemplated. Absolutely.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Jim Santel, who is a former U.S. attorney, current practicing attorney, and host of Amicus, a law review, which you can catch every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Before we go to break really quick, we're talking about a new norm, talking about hair being on fire. The big news this morning breaking that the president is going to be issuing an executive order dismantling the Department of Education. Is this just going to go right in front of a judge? And we can talk about it a little bit and come back to the break and expound upon it. But it just feels like this is yet another piece of paper that's going to be signed. It's going to get in front of a judge and they're going to be like, no, you can't do it. Sorry.
Yes. Right. That's exactly what's going to happen here. We're going to see the president very shortly holding this proudly with his very bold signature at the end of the piece of paper there. And he's going to say the Department of Education is no longer. For what it's worth, if you're the Secretary of Education, who we've seen recently, I guess she took the job with the anticipation it would not be long-lived. But the reality is it will be somewhat long-lived, because you're exactly right. We could talk about the process where as soon as he does this, there are going to be lawsuits probably filed in the District of Columbia, a court once again, challenging his authority to do something. And here's the point, that only the Congress can do. Only the Congress is the entity. They created the Department of Education. They established it. Again, Jimmy Carter and presidents before him advocated for this. There's no doubt, once again, if you get into the policy on this, that the great majority of dollars and policies are set at the local and state level. We know that. But somehow, once again, this attack on the federal government and the good things that it does to ensure access of all people to education, that's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. The president, getting back to the constitutional issue and the legislative issue, does not have the authority to do this. Look for a federal district court judge, maybe again right down the street there, in the next 24 to 48 hours to enter once again a TRO. Again, some more civics here as we always do.
All right.
This is the temporary restraining order saying, no, Mr. President, can't do this.
Yeah. And we have people on the live stream saying that no one will miss the Department of Education. I disagree with that. I think that's a foolhardy thought to have in your brain. And also liberals, again, standing in the way of progress. Well, the question is you want to destroy you want to dismantle the Department of Education. What's your next plan then? How do the children stay educated? Progress means you have a plan. Progress means you have a future goal. This is nothing. This is saying dismantle and do nothing. That is not a plan. But we're going to talk more about this with Jim Santel and talk about some of the other executive orders and just other, I'm not even going to give him we're going to talk more about how the judges are standing up for the Constitution more than our current president is, with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Aaron on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
More farm-related programs being canceled. Those affect more than $1 billion in purchasing local food from farmers for food banks.
These types of programs, it gets high-quality food to people who need it at an affordable price. It's a win-win-win, and it's just a really good investment in these rural economies.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings 6 until 8, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Do you live your life in fear, man? Republicans continue to lead people to believe the boogeyman's coming to get you. It's those immigrants. It's people of color. They're coming to get your babies. Never mind. You live in River Hills, where there's very little crime, if any. What are you afraid of, man? Nobody's coming to get you. And yet, people buy into that foolishness.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
His Honor, Judge Pigmeat Martin Poseidon. Yeah, he, the cone of swings. Is just about ready to do that thing. I don't want no tears, I don't want no lies. Above all, I don't want no alibis. This judge is hip, and that ain't all.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who's off gallivanting the world. For a few days, we'll be returning to us on Tuesday, but I got you today, I got you Friday and Monday, along with Sweet Kelby on the boards, and wonderful, absolutely fantastic, the effervescent Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a Law Review, every Saturday, 9 a.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I had Cal play that song, that is Here Comes a Judge by Pigmeat Martin, one of the earliest maybe rap songs ever, and the reason why I wanted to play that is because in the past, especially in the face of DOGE, which is celebrating a month of existence, in the past, almost since it's been inception, in the past couple weeks, the judges have been standing up and doing that which we expected our congressmen and our president to do, which is protect the Constitution, which they are not. So these judges are. They're saying with these executive orders and all these plans and these cuts from DOGE and these destruction of jobs. No, you can't do it. You cannot do it. This is not constitutional. Stop it.
Thankfully. Yeah. And that is exactly what our Constitution contemplates. Mark that. Let's talk about Pam Bondi in just a minute or so. but getting to that fundamental civics point once again, that's exactly what federal judges do. And the unanimity with which they're doing it, these are, again, we always hate to describe them as Republican judges or Democratic judges, but unfortunately, again, that's the world we live in. These are judges appointed by Democrats and Republicans alike, going back decades, are all saying, no, the Constitution is quite clear on this, and the legislation is quite clear on this. You cannot do this. And so procedurally, this is what we're seeing. Again, it's going to happen quite literally with respect to Judge Boasberg and these Venezuelan migrants who may or may not be, I assume they're no longer in the air. They're somewhere out there in the world, however, as he's going to try to figure out in just a few hours here. But what he does is he hears the evidence. He presumably, he's asking the government now to tell him Exactly what's going on here. Quite literally, when did the planes take off? Give me the time. Mm-hmm. Who is on those planes? Who is responsible for them? Where did they land? Where are these people now? And that's what judges do every single day. They don't always rap with the great rhythm and poetry, as as we just heard, but that's exactly what they're supposed to do. And thank goodness, they are the guardrails. They're the guardrails right now. There's one other that we've talked about before, Greg, and I'll mention it as well. There's some hints as well that we've got federal judges pushing back on some of these criminal attempts too. This stuff is not going to be in the public domain a whole lot, but we saw this case involving the District of Columbia U.S. attorney who wanted, again, to get some movement forward, wanted to open a criminal case. His criminal chief resigned rather than to go ahead and pursue a case that had no merit. And you had a federal magistrate judge, we don't know all the details, in the District of Columbia saying, no, I'm not going to find probable cause. There is another instance where a federal jurist pushing back on this, the other one that's still out there, again, we don't know because they're completely silent, are federal grand juries. These are 23 people pulled together. It's maybe not me, but it could be you, mm-hmm. Put together to determine whether or not indictments should issue. That's also out there. And I just refuse to believe that even in this time when an awful lot of people think that Donald Trump is the king, he is not. Grand juries are not going to go along with this. Mm-hmm. And so here to federal district court judges, here to where they're pushing back, requiring evidence in their courtrooms. And what they're doing procedurally, you're probably wondering, a lot of your listeners who they probably do figure this out. A TRO gets issued, putting people in place right now and say, don't move anything until I can get more evidence. Keep things static. You can't keep planes in the air forever, but mm-hmm. basically bring them back if you need to. And then I'm going to have a larger hearing. We're going to set aside several hours. We're going to have testimony. And then I may enter an injunction, a formal injunction saying, no, from going forward here, you cannot do this further. And then finally, we circle back to what John Roberts did instruct us. Again, he shouldn't have to do this, but he said, if you're unhappy with that, you don't call for the impeachment of the judges who do that. What you do is you go to the appeals court. Mm-hmm. That's what he also said. And thankfully, he did say that, again, a little bit too late, John. But nonetheless, that's the instruction that all Americans should understand. It's not getting rid of the judge. It's not getting rid of what they've done. It's doing this in a proper way.
It's the process. It's the process, the way we've been doing it for hundreds of years, and sidestepping it, overstepping it, always comes back. There's going to be someone there. And as you said, a judge who has been appointed by a Republican or a Democrat to say, no, you don't get to do that. There is a process and you must partake in it just like everyone else. And, you know, that's and if you want to hear more about these types of topics, more of the listen to Amicus, a law review every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. You can always download it on the Civic Media app. Or I'm sorry, you can go to the website and download it as a podcast. Listen to it later if you miss it. But Jim Santel, you know, I'm being called a contrarian in the live stream. I'm standing up for gangbangers. I'm a terrible person in the comments in the live stream. But you know what, Jim? That means we're doing something right if they're getting that Absolutely. Mad at us. So Jim Santel, thank you so much for being here today. We always love talking to you, and we look forward to seeing you next Thursday. You have yourself a wonderful weekend. Folks, stick around. When we come back in the second hour, we got sports with Paul Noonan. Brittany Merlot is going to have weather, and we're going to have ourselves some fun talking about Elon Musk and misinformation, all that, and this shouldn't be a thing. Don't go far. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks, Jim.
Always a pleasure, Greg. Take care.
Don't you remember me?
No, who are you, boy?
Well, I'm the fella that introduced you to your wife.
To my wife?
Yeah.
Life, you son of a gun. Come November election time, you vote your way and I vote mine. This is a tie and the money gets spent. Vote for Pigmy Marco President. I am the judge. I am the judge. Everybody knows that I am the judge. I am the judge. I am the judge.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we continue on location from Richland Center, Wisconsin. We'll have the general manager of WRCO, WRCE, Phil Nee, and host of Those Were the Days, and look at our brackets. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The world's second biggest airport, London's Heathrow, is shut down for all of Friday after a fire at a nearby electrical substation caused significant power outages. BBC's Charlotte Gallagher says flights worldwide may be affected.
They are warning of significant disruption in the days ahead because, of course, aircraft, flight crews, they're not where they're supposed to be. They'll either have been diverted or they won't have taken off even. So they'll need to be moved here. And then, of course, there will be this huge influx of passengers arriving.
Transportation safety is in focus here, as the National Transportation Safety Board says many bridges need to be inspected for reliability. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy.
We're urging 30 owners of 68 bridges in 19 states to perform a vulnerability assessment of their bridges' risk of catastrophic collapse from a vessel collision.
The report is a follow-up.